this truth of a head. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. So, Michelle Obama, it's nothing more than entertaining. She had a feminist, isn't that her name, Michelle? Like Gorbachev, Michelle Obama. What does Doug McBurney call her? He says, he talks about Barry Ho and his M.O., right, Barry? But because Barack, before Barack wanted to get... He wanted to get tuition discounts as a foreign student. So before that, he called himself Barry, right? He was Barry. And then he became Barack, Barry Ho, Hussein Obama, and his M.O., Michelle. Obama was angry that a lesbian wanted answers. A lesbian said that before she dies, she wants to know whether or not lesbians will be treated properly by the Obama administration. And Michelle Obama couldn't take it and said a little bit of in a tizzy, you know, I'm out of here. If you're going to speak, I'm leaving. And so it's interesting when you see that the Obamas, of course, they love the homosexuals, right? They just love them. Like Bill Clinton, he just loves homosexuals. Bill Clinton loves homosexuals so much, you're sure he hangs out in a gay bar at least once or twice a week, right? No, he doesn't. So why is it then that he and George W. Bush, why does Bush love homosexuals, which he does, it's sad. His church, the United Methodist Church in Houston, before he ran, when he started to run for president, we checked and they were a gay friendly, I hate to use that term, a homosexual friendly church. And so Bush is very homosexual friendly, just like his father was the first to invite homosexuals to the White House to honor them, George H.W. Bush. And George W. Bush, when the Boy Scouts were under attack by homosexuals, literally under attack and being told they're not allowed to use public libraries, the Boy Scouts, George W. Bush, who was in the headlines at the time, daily, hourly, refused to stand up for the Boy Scouts. And of course, Mitt Romney has said all along that he thinks that the Scout leaders should be homosexuals, that he thinks the Scouts should have homosexual leaders. And so all the insanity that we are seeing, let's say, in the Obama administration, so similar, it's just a slightly different flavor to the insanity with the Republicans. It's just a slightly different flavor. And who would you rather have stab you in the back? You know, your enemy or somebody you thought was your friend? So anyway, the reason that Bill Clinton loves homosexuals is not because he loves homosexuals. Now, Hillary's a different story altogether. But Bill Clinton, you know, why? It's because of their opposition to God. When you're in rebellion to God, remember, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. And homosexuality is one of the most significant ways to express your hatred for God. And so that's why the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So Bill Clinton, as an enemy of Jesus Christ, is very comfortable with and appreciates homosexuals, but it's not as though they're best buds. It's not as though they're going to go drink a Budweiser together. So that was Michelle Obama. We have a series of weird news stories today. We have the Muslim murderer in Miami, and I'd just like to make a comment about him, Mr. Hamza. Hamza? I read that wrong. Mr. Porkza. Mr. Swineza. Why are so many terrorists named Ham? That's just a question I have. And I'd like somebody who's educated to let me know why are so many. Now, this guy, He's one of the Muslim, let's see, this is from the Miami Herald, and this is just out today, June 5th, Wednesday, 2013. One of the Muslim murderers who killed a British serviceman in broad daylight. Oh, wait, it didn't say Muslim murderers. One of the who killed a British serviceman in broad daylight called himself during a soldier while rambling in court today. He appeared by a video link from London's Central Criminal Court, and alleged journalists got to listen in. And he asked, he's 28 years old, and he was addressed by the court as Mr. Hamza, H-A-M-Z-A. And he wants to be known as Mujahid Abu Hamza. And by the way, he praised the judge for allowing his handcuffs to be removed. Now, this is the same guy, right, who was in the video, who was ranting, holding bloody knives immediately after the slaying of this serviceman on a street corner, ranting with bloody knives. He's one of the Muslims who hacked to death a soldier standing on a street corner, and yet he's tender enough to greatly appreciate having his handcuffs removed. He praised the judge. This is what he said. He said, "That man who is wearing the white wig and the red robe, may Allah bless that man." That's what he said. It's just too weird. It strikes me as weird. You murder someone in cold blood, and then you're so dainty. Please, the handcuffs are too tight. Could you please remove them? Thank you, Judge, for being so nice to me and all my terrorist friends. So I do wonder how many terrorists and terror groups have Ham in their names. And you think of it, it's a small world. It's a small world, and there are cultural and linguistic and religious reasons why people have the names that they do often, unless your name is Moonbeam or something like that, but often. So if you think about all the terrorists and the terror groups with Ham, and of course, right off the bat, you think of Hamas, H-A-M-A-S. And that's the Islamic Resistance Movement. And then there's 9/11 Mohammed Atta, right? He was the lead 9/11 terrorist, other than Osama bin Laden and all. Mohammed Atta. And then there's, remember, Al-Qaeda's bad hair day sheikh? Remember him? Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, of course. Then imagine if you're at a terrorist meeting and you say, "Hey, Mohammed, turn on the lights." I mean, the whole. Then Russia, remember Russia killed that Islamic terrorist? They were also separatists. So they're not all Islamic terrorists with the Beslan school massacre, where over 300 children and adults were slaughtered at the Beslan school. So a lot of those were separatists, who could be somewhat secular, but they're mixed in with Muslim terrorists. And so Russia killed one of those terrorists, Shamil Bazayev, for his role in that school, the Beslan school slaughter. So Shamil, Ham. Remember New York City had a Muslim terrorist who wanted to blow up the Holland Tunnel? Remember that? His name was Asim Hamoud. Hamoud. Then there's in Southeast Asia, Hambali. That's their Al-Qaeda group. Hambali. That's in Southeast Asia. Then there's, remember the sniper in D.C. back east? There were a couple snipers. And remember John Alvin Mohammed, one of the two snipers. And Abu Abbas. There's so many terrorists, you can't, you know, you need a deck of cards to put their faces on each card. But there's the Palestinian Liberation Front's Muhammad Abbas, also known as Abu Abbas. And there's just so many others. There was a British ringleader of an airline bomb plot named Mohammed Al-Ghandra. And then there's, I remember this guy in Michigan, Adham Othman. Adham Othman. And was it the FBI when they arrested him? He had 1,000 cell phones in Michigan, and they linked him to terrorist activities. 1,000 cell phones, you know, he might have just been selling them on eBay or Craigslist. But on the other hand, they like to ship those to Afghanistan, Iraq, and use them to, but they could buy them there too. But you get better ones in the U.S., you know, and they like to use them to trigger bombs. Then there was London's train bomber, Mohammed Sadiq Khan. So there's a lot of Hams and Mohammeds among the terrorists. And you don't have to look for little known terrorists and terrorist groups. These are, for the most part, these are the A-list. I remember Syria blamed Al-Qaeda supported. Remember the attack on America's embassy in Damascus? And Syria said it was done by Al-Qaeda supported Jund al-Shaham. And so there's another Islamic terrorist group. And then let's see, Al-Qaeda in Iraq. Remember that group? They're second in command. The senior operational leader, he was al-Zarqawi's successor. He's known as Abu Hamza, al-Muhajir. Who else do we got here? Pakistan's, these are, I'm taking this from my own list over the years of terrorist attacks, just so I could keep track of the terrorists in the world. Who are they? So that on 9/11, when 9/11 happened, I was, while that was still unfolding, I was on the air live at the Information Radio Network, and we were reporting that it's not known who did this, but it's very possibly Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden. Now, what do we know? We're not former CIA agents. We're right-wing fundamentalist Christians. But it seemed somewhat obvious that it couldn't have been Yasser Arafat. They didn't have the wherewithal to do this, it seemed, but Al-Qaeda would. So who else do we have? We have Pakistan's Islamist group, Jaish-e-Mohammed. They're the army of Mohammed. We have Pakistan's Hafiz Mohammed Saeed. He leads the army of the righteous there in Kashmir. Then there's, remember the Dutch movie director who was murdered? Because he, I don't know, he said something about Muhammad woke up on the wrong side of the bed and molested some young girl or something. The murderer of the Dutch movie director was Mohammed Bouyeri. Remember the L.A. airport terrorist? This was when Bush was in office. When there's a terrorist attack and Barack Obama, the Obama administration immediately says, this was not a terrorist attack, or this was a protest over a video that went awry, or just, you know, a knee jerk. This is not a terrorist attack. Like they say it immediately, practically. How do they even know that quickly? But the same thing happened with when Bush was in office. And I remember the attack at LAX, the Muslim who was yelling Allahu Akbar as he was murdering people at the ticket counter, the LAX LL gate there in Los Angeles. And he, what was his name? The LAX terrorist murderer, Hesham Mohammed Hidayet. Hesham Mohammed, so he's got, he's a double ham. Hesham Mohammed Hidayet. So then there's in Bali, let's go back to Southeast Asia. In Bali, remember the nightclub Islamic terrorists slaughtered 23 people? That was Nordin Mohammed. And then remember in Oregon, there was the car bomber who was thwarted. Mohammed Osman Mohammed. So that's another double ham. Then we have Osama bin Laden's security chief and terrorist trainer, Ali Mohammed. You know, Europeans descended from Noah's son, Japheth, for the most part, not totally, but largely. And you have people in Asia and Africa, people in the Middle East, and you look at Noah's other children, Shem and Ham, and you have the Semites, and you have Hamitic peoples, and Ham had a son who was the arch nemesis of the Jews from his time until throughout the whole history of the Old Testament. You still read about them in the New Testament, and they're called the Canaanites. So, the son of Ham. In fact, my wife and I, Cheryl and I, we both read a great book. Ken Scott gave it to us, The Son of Ham. Oh, actually, it was The Son of Hamas. It was a great book by a former terrorist who became a Christian. Really great, great book. But, thank you, Ken. But when you look at, it's a small world that we live in, and people think that, well, I can't possibly comprehend the history of the world because it's just too much. But really, it's a small world. You ever go halfway around the world and meet somebody and they say, hey, is that you, Bob? Yeah. Hey, is that? Yeah. So I know there are a lot of people, but it's a small world after all. And there was a study just out in the last couple weeks that said when they look at Europeans across Europe, it's startling how closely related they are as a group. And so they said, not only that, you go from England, the British Isles, over to Istanbul. Istanbul is what? It's the capital city. It's maybe the only city in the world on two continents. Half of the city's in Asia, the other half is in Europe. We've gone there. We took our Bible tour of Turkey, tremendous trip, right on the Bosphorus there, which, by the way, all that points to the global flood. It's just all great, as so much does in the world. But the Europeans, it turns out, are so closely related. So the researchers said, you know, if we go back 1,000 years and we calculate the relationships of those who lived in Europe, and we want to determine the difference between then and now, they were stunned by the results. The results are that the people living in Europe today are about as closely related to one another as the people living there 1,000 years ago. And you go back a handful of generations, and it turns out that people in France, people in Norway, people in Austria, people in Russia have an amazing number of relatives in common that they're all related to. And this is all reinforced now with genetic science. And so you have Ham, who was the father of Canaan. And by the way, if you ever wonder why little baby Canaan was cursed when his father sinned in Genesis 9, just Google, why was Canaan cursed? And I think you'll find out of many thousands of possible web pages, our article on that is number one. Just why was Canaan cursed, or Canaan cursed, just those two words. Some people, because they don't read very carefully, they call it the curse of Ham. But it was Canaan who was cursed. Ham committed the sin, and his child, Canaan, was cursed. And that confuses a lot of people. It's one of our more popular articles at our website, kgov.com. And you'll find out, why was Canaan cursed? It's such an interesting, I don't know, maybe toward the end of the show we could touch on it a little bit. So the son of Ham, Canaan, becomes the patriarch, the father of the Canaanites. And the Canaanites represent all the people in Canaan. Not only the Canaanites, but the Jebusites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the, you know, all those ites, the Arvadites. It's It's scary how small of a world it is, the Arvadites. And so you've got the Canaanites, they become the arch nemesis of God's chosen people, the Israelites. And so the Canaanites end up with their own religion, and they intermingle, of course, with the peoples around them, including the Ishmaelites. And if you begin to end the Edomites, and if you look at the Bible, the first half of Genesis, you can understand where most of the people groups in the world have come from, especially the Table of Nations in Genesis chapter 10. And then out of this group of human beings who set themselves up as enemies of Abraham and enemies of the children of Abraham. And so you got to watch out who you make your enemy, right? Because if you choose for an enemy someone who's wiser than you, stronger than you, and more righteous than you, or someone whose supporters have ultimate control, right? God loves Abraham. And God says that the Jews are the apple of his eye. So what are you going to do if accidentally a twig or somebody's finger is going to poke you in the eye? What are you going to do? You have a natural reaction. You can't even control it. You're just going to react and protect yourself. And so Israel, they're the apple of God's eye. And so those who hate the Jews, they make God their enemy. And, you know, it's even Christians have hated the Jews, how, as we've discussed recently on the show. God could still forgive you and he could still save you, but you don't want to be grieving God and committing that sin. And so there are people who set themselves up as enemies of God's people, Israel, and therefore enemies of the teachings in the Hebrew scriptures, and therefore enemies of Jesus Christ, who came in fulfillment of the Hebrew scriptures. And so it turns out, in the turn of events in history, that Muhammad, selected of all the gods, hundreds of gods in pagan Saudi Arabia, he chose the moon god. You know, there's a lot of gods, leads to a lot of confusion. Let's go with Allah and his crescent moon symbol, and let Allah be the god. So he picked Allah. So now a billion people worship the moon god, although they don't quite realize that. They call him Allah. And there is just this natural affinity, whether religious or cultural or linguistically, back to Ham and the son of Ham. And you've got these terrorists everywhere are naming themselves after Ham and Hamas and Hambali. And remember when Abu Hamza al-Masri was arrested, the radical Muslim clerk, American extradition warrant, and he was arrested. He was a symbol of Islamic fundamentalism in Britain. Yeah, Abu Hamza emigrated to Britain looking for a better life. You know, he's famed for missing, you'll remember him, missing one eye and one hand. Remember that? He's the blind sheikh. He's missing an eye and a hand. And I remember him saying to America, he said, "Bad things happen to you because Allah is against you." He says as he's pointing with his hook to us. And I'm thinking, you're the guy with one eye and a hook, right? And you're trying to interpret why bad things happen to people? I mean, what's your story, buddy? And it just goes on and on and on, the overt connection to Ham and the son of Ham and the rebellion. So the history of the world is more understandable than people think. Why chromosomal Adam has been discovered by scientists, geneticists. You'll know if you listen to Real Science Radio. Mitochondrial Eve has been discovered by geneticists. And these are the terms they give to these individuals because they see that everyone in the world is descended from one man, and it turns out that man is Noah, and everyone in the world is descended from one woman, and it turns out that woman is Eve. And they could find these similarities in our DNA. And by the way, Canaan, people wonder why was Canaan cursed, right? Ham, Noah became drunk after the flood, and his son obviously did something wrong. There's a Hebrew idiom used, so people don't understand what he did wrong, and they try to take it literally. If you take an idiom literally, right, if somebody says, well, he hit the road, and you take it literally, are you going to understand or be confused? And so the Bible says that it's a sin to have relations with close relative, like to have relations with your father's wife, of course, is a gross sin of incest. And the Bible says that is uncovering your father's nakedness. That's a figure of speech or an idiom referring to incest. And so Ham committed that sin, uncovering his father's wife. And as a result, when she became pregnant, as a result of that incest, there was a baby conceived, and his name was Canaan. So Ham was the father of Canaan. That's what that whole story is about. And when you understand that, then Genesis, the part of Genesis that people think shows God as arbitrary and capricious, turns out to be so insightful and so explanatory at understanding the entire rest of the Old Testament and Israel and their arch nemesis, the Canaanites. But anyway, just a few observations from a few lines in the news and how the Bible helps us understand it all. Our website, kgov.com.